Hey guys, happy Sunday morning. Trust you're well. Welcome to my daily update video. You know, as always, if you're new to my YouTube channel, hit the subscribe button somewhere down there and check out the links below. We have a free gift we send to everybody when they sign up for our email newsletter. Good. Well, trust you guys are well. Today is Sunday. I'm in my office right now before church. So I usually get around here around about 7:45, 8 o'clock, something like that, and got our worship team practicing. We're about to have a Holy Ghost prayer meeting. So I actually love it. There's no better way I know of starting a Sunday morning than just walking around the building with a bunch of people praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues, praying scripture, just entering into the presence of God, forgetting all the busyness of life. And our service here starts at 10. Sort of do a quick recap of what I am preaching on today. So today, well, actually, we're in the series where we're talking about what it means to be full of the Spirit, to live in the fullness of Holy Spirit. For me, that's something I've been interested in all of my life. What does it mean to be baptized in the Spirit, to be full of the Spirit? But more importantly, how do we stay full of the Spirit as well? How do we live in that place of overflow with God? When I look at individual lives, or more importantly, corporate moves, I usually see seasons where a person, a church, a movement, you know, is just full of the power of God, revival, the fullness, the overflow of Holy Spirit happens. And then if we're honest, I think as we look in history, forgive my language, but we usually lose it. It's like there's some amazing, powerful thing happens, and usually 10 to 20 years later, things are a shadow of what they were. There's a really interesting letter that John G. Lake wrote to the leaders. I think he's writing to William Seymour, one of the leaders of the Azusa Street Revival. Lake's writing in the 1930s, and in a way he's saying, I know all of us who were leaders back then were walking with God, our churches are good, you know, the blessing of God's on our life. But he said, I don't know anybody that's walking in the same intensity of power as we were back then. Yeah, there's two ways Christians deal with that. Either we develop a theology that says, well, sometimes God's moving, and other times it's like the tide is out and we've just got to sit there like a beached whale waiting for the next move of God. Or I believe rather that we can learn to stay full. And what I'm speaking about today, I'm speaking about moving from fullness to power. I think right now there are about at least 1 billion born again, spirit-filled, Pentecostal, charismatic, third wave, full Christians on planet Earth, people who would speak in tongues, who would move in the gifts of the Spirit, around about a billion. That's becoming the normal, normative Christianity. And yet, I think there are very few people who actually move in power versus, you know, I've had a charismatic experience, if you will. So today I'm going to speak about how do we move from fullness to power. Luke chapter 4 says Jesus went into the wilderness full of the Spirit. But then he says he came out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. And I'm going to give 4 keys to moving from fullness to power. So if you want to hear the full message, check out my YouTube channel. We'll be live streaming at 11 a.m. But I'll give you a quick sneak preview of those keys because they're actually really simple. You know, key number one is this, that the Spirit is in us all the time. 1 John 2:20 says you received an anointing from the Holy One. 1 John 2:27 says the anointing you've received abides within you. So Holy Spirit's in us all the time, but he comes upon us in power and anointing for service. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, up on me. Why? Because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, open the eyes of the blind, set at liberty the captives, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim the year of God's favor. The Spirit of God's in us all the time. The presence of God is in us all the time, but he comes upon us for ministry, for service. And if we want to be moving in power, we need to step into that place of service. We can't wait for power just simply sitting on the settee or the couch watching reruns of Dallas or Dynasty. Power is there for. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to find out your two. John 3, I believe it's verse 21, says, he who God sent speaks the words of God, and to him God gives the Spirit without measure. So we've got to find that sending, that mission, that purpose. You are anointed to do, number one, key number one. Key number two is, Like everything in the Christian life, the anointing, the power of God works by faith. And what most of us say when we say, God, I want your power, is we're actually saying, God, I want a feeling of power. God, I'd love electricity to run through my veins so I shake like an octopus on crack. Forgive my Britishness, sir. And, you know, at times God will let you feel probably like one gazillionth of his power. But feeling power is not the same thing as power. We need to believe the power is there even when we don't feel it. Good example, Mark, I believe it's chapter 5, where thousands of people are touching Jesus, but then that woman with the issue of blood comes and touches him. But she touches him in a different way. She touches him with faith. She touches him, and the Bible says, as she went on a journey, she kept saying to herself, when I touch him, I will be made whole. And the Bible says, when she touched him, Jesus felt in himself power, dunamis, dynamite, Acts 1:8, go out of him and said, who touched me? So faith is released, power is released by faith, as in everything in the Christian life. Key number 3, you know, charismatics don't like this, but it's a real truism as well. We will see God's power in the measure that we sacrifice. Jesus said in Mark 9, verse 1, some are standing here who won't taste of death till they see the kingdom come with power. But in the verses precedent, he said, if any man love me, let him take up his cross and follow me. Here's my point. We need to be willing to lay down our lives. There's a price you pay for the power of God, not a price to buy it, but a price in your pride, a price in your reputation, a price in being willing to look foolish, a price in laying down yourself to let God flow through you. So 4 keys. Key number 1, the anointing is there for to do. Key number 2, everything works by faith. Key number 3, you've got to be willing to sacrifice. Key number 4, Jesus goes into the wilderness full of the Spirit, comes out in the power of the Spirit. So what's the difference? Here's the difference. It's all about authority. Jesus took the word of God and confronted the enemy. He stood on the word of God in the midst of confrontation, of temptation, and said, it is written, it is written, it is written. And if you're going to see the power of God released in your life, you need to learn to stand on the word of God. And you need to learn to eyeball the enemy, to look him in the face and say, no, it is written, and stand on the word of God. You know, it's a whole other teaching, but really quick, let me sum it up this way. Really think on this one, guys. It's a key to transformation in your life. It's really this. You control the authority. The authority is under your control. The power is resident in you, but the power is controlled by Holy Spirit. And we're so often saying, Lord, send your power. And God's saying, when you use my authority, I will back it up with my power. Selah. Boom. Hey, again, if you want the full message, tune in live at 11 a.m. Eastern. We'd love to see you there. Check out the links below. And just stay warm, stay safe, and I hope to see you soon in the plan of God. Bye for now.